You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. All right, this is a little odd today, so let me catch up on what was going on. Normally, we don't do a podcast on Wednesdays, and I was on the road today, but I saw that Rico Mohammed, was going to do a conference call tonight about rates and lanes. And Rico presented with me last year at CMC, does a great job of explaining the load board systems and how to find loads and negotiate and lots of stuff. So we arranged to have Rico doing this podcast tonight, but both of us were on the road and both of us ran into problems. I had my day scheduled where I was going to stop at a rest area on 70 in Kansas and get all set up for the show, and I got to the rest area and realized it was closed. So I had to hurry to get to a place to a park to get this set up. And the last time I talked to Rico, he was running into some problems as well. His load, he was at a dock and his load was overweight. He had to run down and get a scale ticket. And then they were trying to take some of the load off, but he thought he was going to be able to make it for the show. I don't see him right now. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If everybody just holds tight, I am going to see if I can call Rico. I'm not in a place where I can do a whole show. I've got it all set up and everything's ready to go, but I actually need somebody to kind of run the show. So let me see if I can get a hold of Rico, and if not, we'll figure something out. So hold, don't go away. All right, everybody. Well, I am back. I'm actually back as a caller right now. I see Rico just logged in as a host. Both of us, like I say, ran into some problems today. I'm literally still sitting in the driver's seat with the engine running. I just pulled in to a Flying J just in time to get the show up and running. So, Rico, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Well, it looks like it's all yours. Nothing like putting you on the spot, you know, telling you in the afternoon today you're going to run a show tonight, and then you doing it from the seat of your truck. But, hey, you know what? Sometimes this is how things work.
I think the best thing about this is it lets everybody know none of this is staged. Everything is real.
This is real. Yeah, these aren't, we're not talking about radio personalities sitting in New York here. This is truck drivers out on the road really working.
Exactly. Getting stuff done. We're picking up America and bringing them back to us, though.
There you go. So I gave you a crash course on the switchboard. Other than that, you're kind of on your own.
Looks like we've got
100-plus callers or so. And let me just let everybody know right now. If you're on the line, press 1 if you've got a question, a comment. Tonight's kind of, we are really winging it tonight, by the way. I mean, we threw this together at the last minute. We're both working all day, so just go with it. But if you're on the phone and you have a question, a comment, you want to jump in and join us, whatever it is, press 1 on your phone. So, Rico, if you're looking at the switchboard and you see right under somebody's phone number, you see the blue circle with the question mark?
Right.
That means that caller has a question.
Okay.
And you can just let people know as you're going through the show, you know, anytime they press 1, that'll put them in the queue and let you know that they've got a question. Everybody else is just sitting there listening. Tonight we are talking, Rico's talking about rates and lanes. Right now we've got 8 questions, which means we could certainly fit in more. So, like I say, if you've got a question, a comment, anything you want to jump in with, press 1. And unless you have any other questions for me, Rico, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, I got two real quick ones before we start, before we jump into it. I got a couple of links I wanted to post. What would be a good place on Facebook, on your page, on the Less Truck page? Where would you – I want to go ahead and post those real quick.
Are you a member of Rate Per Mile Masters?
I am.
I would put it in there and then let everybody know how to find it.
Okay.
Go to Facebook and search for Rate Per Mile Masters, and you'll post the links in there. That way we keep all the stuff that's, you know, relevant to that topic in one place.
Cool. Well, everybody heard it. That's on the line, I'll just make a note to keep repeating it, and I'm on that site right now. I'm getting ready to start posting links.
Okay. It looks like we've got about 200 callers, so busy night. And did you have another question?
That was the only thing. We're gonna start out. We're gonna go over the first link that I posted, and we're gonna go over a couple of links. And I think that should probably be enough to get us through the show tonight. And we'll take a couple of calls after we go over the information.
Perfect. I am. I'm gonna find a place to park and get set up for my live show tonight. So good luck.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Have fun.
Well. All right, hello everyone. Thank you guys for calling in, and I really am flattered by everyone's attendance. I'm going to post this link real quick in the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page. Depending upon how quick my internet connection is with all the stuff I got going on, I'm not sure how quickly it may show up. So in the meantime, while we're waiting on that, I'll go ahead and jump in here and start taking a couple of calls because I don't want to get too backed up on them. Take the first caller from the area code 608. I don't have any way of screening tonight, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going to click you in, and if you could, just give us your name and where you're calling from, and we'll handle your questions at that point. So I'm taking the first caller from area code 608. Caller, are you
there? Yes, Rico. How's it going, bud?
It's going well, as well as can be expected. How about yourself?
There you go. Good. I have a question about the rates out of Ohio and Indiana for dry van freight. I've noticed lately that the rates have gone way up about 20 to 40 cents a mile going back to Wisconsin and Minnesota. And I'm really just kind of curious if you think that that is because of all the brokers that went out of business recently, or is that because of the winter, or, you know, is this kind of a sustainable increase, or what do you think is going on? Are you familiar with that?
What I feel like is going on right now in the spot market in particular, what we're dealing with is, of course, crazy weather, the crazy winter weather. That's the number one thing that we're dealing with. So, I mean, you're having freight that's piling up in places, and it's got to get out. Right now, the biggest thing that's on the newsletter, I don't know if that link has made it up on the Rate Per Mile, but I'm trying to post a link to this particular newsletter, so that anyone can go to it and look at what I'm looking at currently. But it's a newsletter that DAT puts out. It's called DAT Trendlines. And it gives you, they put it out every week. It comes out every single Wednesday. And they have all segment types of the trucking industry broken down other than car haulers and, you know, anything that's really specialized. But they have vans, flatbeds, and reefers. So we can click into the van segment on this report, and we can go in there and it's live. And we're talking about in the Midwest, and right now it's showing national averages in the Midwest at $2.57 a mile coming out of Chicago. I know you were saying about I'm going to go into another little tool that I have here. What city were you talking about in particular? Let's see what we can pull back on the spot right now.
Indiana, Ohio, going back to Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Give me two particular cities. Let's try and limit it.
Okay. Columbus to Minneapolis.
Columbus, Ohio. Indianapolis, Minnesota. This is going to be depending upon how quick my internet service is here.
Sure. I remember back in 2009, 2010, getting a load out of Columbus, going to Minneapolis for $900, and I've seen lately they're going for around $1,200, and I haven't really paid attention up until lately, but I'm so surprised that I'm not really
right now. I'm gonna jump in here real quick. Actually, right now,
okay.
What you got going on in the Columbus market in particular? According to all my information tonight that I'm going to be talking about is going to be based off of DAT's information. I use DAT's. If anyone was ever at the last CMC, we kind of went over this stuff a little bit. But right now what you have going on in the Columbus market is it's really saturated for vans as far as the freight that is there. It's 8-to-1 ratio. They're currently showing 3,667 loads available in the Columbus market. And there are only 450 trucks available. That gives you an 8-to-1 ratio. So when you're dealing in the spot market in particular, you kind of want to try to stay abreast of these tools and be on top of your information. It changes daily. But if you have a way to stay abreast and stay on top of this information, then, of course, by the spot market being a creature of supply and demand, whenever you are in demand, you can increase your cost. So when we go back to right now, I'm showing average line haul rate in that particular lane going from Columbus to Minneapolis, $1.45 per mile is your line haul, and there's a 50-cent fuel surcharge, which puts that average rate at $1.95. I'm showing a range of anywhere from $1.28 to $1.56. So when you know that you're in a higher demand in that particular market, I'd like to try to increase my range. I'd like to bump up closer to the top end of that range, if that makes any sense. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you a lot, Rico. I won't filibuster. I'll let some other guys get on there, and appreciate your time, bud.
No problem. We'll go to the next caller. I've got another call from the 608. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Uh-oh, that call dropped. Caller from the 770. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller, are you there? Okay, we're going to put him back on hold. Let's see. Caller from the 231. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Thank you.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Yes, sir. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? This is Rico.
Hi, Rico. My name is Jim. Calling from,
how you doing, Jim?
Good. Kingsland, Georgia.
What can we help you with tonight?
I run reefers, so what? The best way to find the best spot reaper rate.
Funny you called in. Another link that I wanted to try to get up tonight. Are you familiar? Have you ever heard of the USDA truck market report?
No.
Okay. You're familiar. I know you got reefer, so you got to be familiar with the USDA, right? Okay, every week the USDA publishes a market report, and it talks about produce, the markets where produce is coming out of, where they are having a shortage of trucks at, where the hotbeds are. And this is a really excellent tool if you pull reefers, and even if you pull a dry van, if you have an aluminum roof with a vented trailer, you can, I'm pretty sure fellows have done it before, you can pull melons if you have a vented van with an aluminum roof. So if you stay on top of the USDA truck market report that comes out every Wednesday, I'm going to post a link to that on the Facebook page, the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page. I'm going to be posting a link on there right now. I'm trying multitasking as we're doing this. But
Bob, there's no shiny object, because Kevin has trouble in the shiny object.
I'm sorry?
So as long as there's no shiny objects around, because Kevin, when he sees a shiny object, he can't multitask.
I know. It's been really a crazy day, and he and I both, like you said, we've been both catching it on both ends. Let's see here. Copy. Let me get in back into the page, and I'm posting a link on there right now. There should be a link up, and I'm going to go over this report really quickly. On this report, it's a two-page report, and it has, at the top of the page, it's kind of broken down into like an Excel format, but you should be able to see it in either Excel or PDF format. And I'm correcting myself because it's actually a five-page report this week. And they actually just published a brand-new report today. Came out, I was looking for it earlier, but it just came out not too long ago because I've been refreshing this thing all day long. But on the left-hand column of this page that I'm looking at, if you guys get a copy of it, it'll have the region and the cities. Like, for instance, it has Salinas, Westonville, California. Right now it's showing that the truck availability in that particular market is at an adequate level, which means that it's really good to be in that market right now. It's okay, put it that way. But right now, the hot markets for produce is showing Central and South Florida. Potatoes are coming out of Central and South Florida really hot right now. Idaho and Oregon County right now is showing a really, really, they're at a shortage in that market. Minnesota, North Dakota, they're at a shortage in that market. I'm just going to hit the places where their shortages are at. New York is at a shortage right now. Lower Rio Grande Valley is at a shortage right now. Columbia Basin, they're adequate, and Northwestern Washington is at a shortage. Now, on this particular report, that's like the top page, but then on the subsequent pages below that, they'll have different, under each market, they'll have other market lanes showing, we'll take Central and South Florida region right now. They're saying that coming out of Central and South Florida, you have tomatoes, mixed vegetables, and berries, and that truck availability is at a shortage. And they'll give you a couple of lanes under that particular market, like they have Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, Chicago, New York, and Philadelphia. Now, this is all information that the U.S. government puts out there. It's saying that the average rate in the lane between Central and South Florida to the Atlanta market is in between $1,300 and $1,500. The Baltimore, to go from Central to South Florida, the rate on that particular lane is anywhere between $2,200 and $2,500. Boston, from Central and South Florida, $3,500 to $3,800. Chicago, $2,600 to $2,800. New York, $3,200 to $3,400. And Philadelphia is the last market. It's showing $2,800 to $3,000 in that particular lane right now out of Central and South Florida. So if you have a reefer, it would behoove you to stay on top of the produce truck market report. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It gives you now the rates that I named off really quickly. Those are the buy rates in which if the brokers are pretty much buying it at. So you know you're going to have to leave them some room for them to make their commission, but it gives you some room to kind of negotiate really tight on your rate if you're picking up broker freight. Now, if you have connections where you can get direct freight, then it gives you an idea what you probably need to be charging your direct customer. You know, these are just numbers that are put out by the U.S. government, and it's a pretty extensive report. So if you get a chance to go back to the Facebook Rate Per Mile page, check it out.
Now, are some rates they're posting, are they one-on-one? So if there's a road coming out of South Florida that's got, like, two picks, three drops, do you add money to the picks and the drops, or?
That would be a one pick one drop. So you probably would need to add in if you get hit with multiple drop loads, which is normal. You probably need to add in whatever your normal cost it is for you to add an extra drop on a run. And also, of course, you always know if you're running your numbers correctly, if you have your rate per mile and everything, then, you know, you need to cost that out. It's important that you make sure you got your numbers that Kevin talks about, your cost per mile, and that you have an adequate charge for per stops.
Right, right. What kind of number would you use on per stops coming out of that area? Let's say
I generally charge every time I make a stop, if it's in route. What I normally do is I try to route the entire run. And I charge the going per mile rate, because sometimes if you have a, depending upon where the stop is, it may not be in a straight line. So I'll run the miles out, and I'll charge per mile on that. And every time I need to make a stop, I'm usually somewhere between $75 to $100 for a stop.
Okay.
If someone uses anything different, then but you know, it's your business. You know, if you got your own authority, you set your rate. So, you know, that's kind of abstract.
Right,
but that's,
right. I mean, if you're on the East Coast and you got an area where, you know, you got to run toll roads, you got to add in a little more.
Right, right. So all that stuff is to be taken into consideration. So does that cover your question right there?
Yeah. I've been running out of Central Florida actually since the 1st of December, and the rate's just been outstanding.
Okay.
The best okay. I was on for this time of year. But I didn't know how you find them, you know. Like, so I needed to know that for when they slow down there that I can kind of – I kind of run where the money runs, you know.
Right, right. I definitely understand that. Well,
I'm
going to kind of get to another.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry? No, I said I was going to try to get to another call, but be sure to go check out the Facebook page and check out the link that I posted for the produce market report. It comes out every single Wednesday. It's free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. So it's definitely a great resource to have at your disposal if you're running reefers.
Well, yeah,
I'm sorry. I'll get ready to move on to the next caller. Caller from the 630. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Scott. I'm running across Missouri tonight. How you doing, Rico?
I'm well, Scott. Thanks for calling in.
Well, we try to average about $2 a mile loaded for every mile we go, and most of the time we have pretty good luck, but what we're running into is I have a tendency to grab the next load ahead of me as fast as I can. And it seems like the last couple of trips I've shot myself in the foot. And just wondering if you have any advice. I mean, like the load I'm on now, I'll unload just outside of Dallas on Friday. I have to wait till Monday to pick up another load that I committed to that's going from about 90 miles east of Dallas up into Indiana. Then after that, I guess I'm going to have to bounce back towards Illinois to get something halfway decent. My wife found a load closer to where I'm unloading that loads on Friday, delivers on Monday, and it's right in the town where my home is. But I've already committed to this other load, and I'm just wondering, you know, should I slow down and just be a little more strategic about what I haul, or am I doing the right thing by grabbing the first thing that's available?
What I like to do, and everybody kind of has to take, you know, you have to do what you feel most comfortable with. And I understand, because I've been there before, I understand the anxiety of let me get a load. It pays to be a little bit more patient, though. If you sit back, especially if you know you're in a hot market, the brokers have a tendency to, the earlier they book your truck, the less they're trying to pay. That's been my experience anyway. If they can get you, if you post your truck a day or two in advance, then they kind of, you know, I guess they, like Kevin said, they on the phone negotiating all day long. So you know, they're pros at this. And whereas most owner-operators, you know, we got so much stuff going on, and we just trying to really run an honest business, and we just want to really get our fair shake. Sometimes that kind-hearted spirit that most owner-operators have has a tendency to bite us in the butt. You know, when negotiating, dealing with brokers, they always use the line, oh, can you help us out this time? Well, when's the last time a broker really just, if you don't have a relationship with them, when was the last time they really helped you out?
Not really. Usually I end up with footprints on my bottom.
Right. So you kind of have to, you start using some of the tools that I'm putting out today. These tools that I'm putting out today are all free, by the way. I understand that everybody may, you know, everybody kind of gets sticker shock when I tell them how much I pay for my load board and for my services that I use from DAT. But, and I can only speak about DAT because that's what I use. I know truck, there's internet truck stop. They also have some very nice tools and stuff that are out there. But I'm only talking about the stuff that I know. That's the only thing that I can really speak to any kind of authority on.
Well, we use 123 load board. We work for Landstar probably on a weekly basis. But I'm thinking more, I'm going to let my wife take it over. We pull a step deck, and another thing that's knocking us out of the box is they tell me, well, you have to get the permits. I have no idea what to do to get a permit, you know, the over width or whatever permits for this truck.
Are you a member of NASTIC?
No, I belong to, I was, I don't know if my membership is still up with them. I was with OIDA.
OIDA has some services that can help you out with that, but NASTIC also has some services that can help you out with you. Are you are independent with your own authority?
Yes, sir.
You definitely, I cannot stress this hard enough. You definitely need to get in contact with NASTIC. Tell them that Rico sent you. You're saving money on fuel. There are many other perks, but by far and beyond is the fuel perks. If you're a member of the Facebook Rate Per Mile page, I put a little small snapshot of one of my invoices where I only bought like 16 gallons. And I bought like 52 gallons, and I got like almost $17 discount off of 2 gallons. You can't.
That's not hard to speak.
I haven't seen anything. If there is anything out there, I would love to know about it. But I haven't seen anything out there that matches the fuel discount. What we're attempting to do on Kevin's team is we're trying to build out the entire framework of keeping a tight hold on your bottom line, knowing your numbers, running a tight ship. But also, we don't want to just be talking about being cheap. We want to talk about how can we also increase revenue. So for us guys that have their own authority, and even for guys that are leased on to like Landstar and stuff, I understand that Landstar guys, they have the ability to even negotiate some of their rates. So with using some of these tools, it gives you any type of negotiation. He who has the most information normally wins. So you want to try to level your playing field with the information that you have so that you can kind of be strong in your negotiating. You can be confident in your negotiating, and that'll help ease some of your anxiety when it comes to, do I need to hurry up and get this load? I've never had a problem of sitting in one place because, and right now I strictly run spot marketing. I have some customers, but I don't run any of my customers, Fred. I'm brokering that stuff out for the most part. I'm running strictly.
Area do you recommend? Well, I'm pulling a step deck, and mine is pretty much Illinois, southern Wisconsin, out to Arizona, New Mexico, or down into Texas.
Well, by you pulling the step deck, and that's a more of a specialized equipment, I think that you may have more success. You may have more success by identifying two particular markets where you like to run. You know, identify some places in your, if you definitely have a lot of customer base right there in your home market, you want to start trying to go direct probably and build you out a lane, kind of like create a dumbbell. Figure out what other city do you like to run to out of your city that has pretty good freight from the experiences that you got coming directly back to your city. And
well, that's
get you
where
some
we
post
have the problem.
Get, okay. What's
that's
your problem?
That's where I have the problem is, you know, I do good going out to Arizona, but the only thing that we get most of the time is copper, which is getting about $1.68 a mile for it going to Dallas or just under $2 a mile going up just outside of St. Louis.
How long have you been running? How long have you been running a step deck?
I was a lease down owner-operator for almost 10 years, and this one I'm pulling behind me, I just got my own authority not quite a year ago.
Okay, so from all of your experiences, what areas have you been to other than your hometown where you feel pretty confident that there is a lot of freight for that particular equipment, for a step deck?
Mostly
because
we've been
the information, the information that I have, it talks about flatbeds, and I know that you can load flatbed stuff on a step deck. Some stuff you can, some stuff you can't. According to the information that I'm looking at, the hottest markets for a flatbed, I can't speak about step deck because it didn't go directly into Midwest. You know, the Southeast. And even the Northeast are all really hot markets right now, and demand is really high in those particular markets right now for a flatbed. Like I said, I can't really speak effectively about a step deck, but trying to translate over flatbeds, those markets are really hot right there. So if you, out of your experience, if you've got certain cities that you've ever ran to in an area where you know that there's a tremendous amount of step deck freight at, then you might want to try to focus on that area and start marketing. Because as a business owner, that's another aspect that we kind of leave off. We kind of depend a little bit too much on load boards and everything else to provide our freight for us. So in order to get direct customers, we got to start doing some postcards, doing some business letters, all types of things to just really get your name out there other than just having business cards. You know, do some. You know, you can go to VistaPrints and get some stuff for free and just kind of like do some test marketing on some stuff to see to get your phone to ringing. Anything you can do to get your phone to ringing will absolutely help you out. And you can be competitive on your rates because now you can add extra money. When you're doing broker freight, they're giving you you're moving freight at a wholesale rate.
Right.
Now you can add, now when you go direct, now you can add, instead of doing a wholesale rate, you can increase your rate to a retail rate. So whatever you were hauling for a broker, throw about another 15 to 20% on there, on top of that rate. And okay. Put that on your marketing material, because once shippers start to see that they may be able to save some money by dealing with you direct and not a middleman, more than likely they may be apt to give you a call, but it's not going to happen on, you know, with advertising. You have to touch people, they say, at least three times in order to get some type of response. So that means if you're mailing 100 customers, you need to do it about three times. You need to at least make sure that they get your marketing material at least three times in order to try to adequately gauge the kind of response that you want to get.
Okay.
So that would be my advice to you on, as far as especially with a step deck. I know that a couple of people that I know that have step decks, a lot of them have their own private customers that they run strictly, go out and run straight back home with.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well, I'm trying to get to go to the CMC, but I just found out they're sold out. So if there's any cancellations, I'm hoping that my wife and I can attend.
Well, get on. Really? Definitely make sure that you get on the, even though they may be sold out, there are always last-minute cancellations and stuff like that. So get on the holding list, and once you get on the holding list, I'm pretty sure Lisa or someone else on the staff would be definitely giving you a call back and letting you know that there may be room availability for you to get on in there.
Yeah, I talked to her a few hours ago. I'm waiting to hear back from her.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to try to move on. The time is just moving on us. I'm going to try to get to some more calls. I appreciate your call again.
Thanks a lot, Rico. I appreciate the information.
All right. Caller from the 623. It's your turn. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Rusty, and I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. And I was wanting to know, how do I increase my my rapport or whatever with these brokers to get paid better? I'm making 211 a mile, all miles, loaded empty, deadhead, everything since the beginning of the year. And I only run Arizona only on a flatbed. And that's just kind of where I'm at, and I run 100% brokered freight.
It doesn't sound like you're doing too bad at 211 for all miles.
Okay.
What's been your experience? You're saying, how do you build relationships? What's been your experience with them?
Well, it's just that the rate is the same regardless whether demand is high or low or anything else. I mean, I just pay the same throughout the year, I guess, except the summer. I don't work June, July, and August. So, I mean, I take vacation for 3 months, but I mean, it's not just what I'm seeing is the rates. I'm not seeing the rates vary at all, regardless. You know, I subscribe to a service that told me, hey, rates are real high, rates are real low at certain points, and I try to tell it to the broker, and she's like, well, do you want it or not? You know, somebody else will take it. You know, I leave it up here for another hour, somebody else will take the load.
Well, and that's part of the thing that we, as independents, that we fight with. And like I was saying earlier, you're only as good as really as your information. If there's someone out there that has really good database information when it comes to flatbeds, you know, by all means, your expertise would be welcome. I'm pulling up the Phoenix market right now, and I'm showing that you should be able to just about name your rate. It's showing an 18.1 load ratio in Phoenix market right now. The thing that most brokers, the games that is, they're going to, even though you may be giving them information or something like that, they're going to test you to see how confident you are in the information that you have. So they may, have you ever had a broker call you and you give them a rate and you say, oh, that's too high, and they hang up on you or whatever, you say, well, I'm not taking it. You kind of hold firm to your price, but they keep calling you back.
Every time they call me back, I dump my rate 25% every time they call me back when they tell me it was too high the first time.
Exactly.
So
exactly. And eventually you get it for what you want to get it for, right?
Well, no, usually more than what I originally told them. I always go 25% more. Every time they call me back, it's 25% more than last time.
Exactly.
That's what
I do an extra $100. It was $100. You could have got $100 cheaper the first time. Now it just went up $100.
Right.
You can start. What you can, kind of like how Kevin talks about. You go in. You identify sometimes you may have to give a little at first in the beginning. I got a couple of brokers that I deal with, and whenever there's an issue or something comes up, I don't have to fight with them. They take care of me. They, as a matter of fact, I've got one so good. Now, when he calls me, he tells me what he has, and he tells me, he says, hey, what do you need to move it for, and add a little something extra in there. And normally, I'm thinking that, you know, wow, I'm trying to be competitive, but at the same time, but that relationship that we have, because that we built over doing business with one another, he likes the way that I, you know, I do what I say I'm going to do. I try to be where I say I'm going to be at the times when I said I'm going to be there. And they appreciate that, and I kind of keep them in the loop. I try to keep the lines of communication open so that there's a free-flowing communication between him and I, so them at ease. But it takes a lot of, you know, you got to give something in order to receive something. And unfortunately, we're in the business where we gotta kind of step out there on the limb first in order to gain that rapport and that respect from them. And then once they see that, then that should, you know, speak volumes about our character and how we run our business.
Yeah, the one thing that I've seen that's really worked really well, and a lot of guys, you know, should try this, is instead of calling and saying that I'm loaded, I usually take a picture of the load on my trailer. That includes the side of my truck that, you know, shows my company name. And I email that to them
right
first, and say, you know, it just says loaded. And that way there's no BS in them about being loaded or not. And I found a couple of brokers really like that. You know, that way they can
okay,
see the freight off the trailer. So,
well, there you
but
go.
I just, you know, and I'm booking everything. I mean, 280 miles, whenever they ask me what I want for it, I always tell them, $2.80 a mile loaded, just because it's, you know, I book everything as a round trip because I want to be home every night. That's just kind of what I do.
Well, one thing that you might want to try too is, like, when you're dealing with big brokerage firms like your TQLs and your C.H. Robinsons and the like, they got so
right
many different people. What you want to try to do is get that same agent that you dealt with so that you can be. That way you can begin to build rapport with that particular person. You can't just look at it, well, it's this broker and they work for that broker. You got to make sure that you're dealing with the same person. That's absolutely critical because they might be in a different division or they might not have that particular freight. But sometimes if you hey, I only want to deal with this person, that's how you build that, establishes that relationship. And they might be able to go over there and talk to their colleague and negotiate for you on your behalf. Even though it may not be their freight, they say, hey, this is a good guy. This is a good carrier for us. Let's do right by him.
Okay.
So you want to try to make sure that you're getting back to the same exact person that you initially talked to and try to build on that relationship.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
I'm going to try to move to the next call. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, caller from the 203. It's your turn.
Hey, Rico, thank you so much for taking the time to do this tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure is all mine. I'm just trying to help out in any way I can. How can I help you tonight?
My name is John. I am in Long Island, New York, and I run for Snyder on their Icy Choice program. So I know most of what you're talking about today, that really doesn't pertain to them, you know, because a lot of the stuff that they have is basically contracted out because my prices and rates that I get seem to be the same. It doesn't matter how many trucks are in the area. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. It seems like that the rates don't change much. But is there something that I can be looking at or something that I could be doing that would help me in learning how to be in the right market with a company like Snyder?
Well, the reason that you're probably seeing the same rates on a lot of your freight is Snyder is being such a big company and having the tremendous, the big fleet that they have, they lock in a lot of stuff at contract rates. So
right,
contract
right.
rates, a lot of stuff that we're talking about is spot market. Spot market is almost like a commodity on the stock market. It,
mm-hmm.
it fluctuates all the time, whereas the contract rate kind of buys you a little bit more stability. And that's why you're seeing that you're not seeing much fluctuation in your rates. Now, as far as being in the right market with Snyder, I would recommend once you get you've been with a company for a while, you kind of start to see where their major customers are. Now, I've talked with different guys that work for Snyder, and sometimes they say that they don't load the contractors on certain freight, or they only load contractors. I'm not familiar with exactly how the ins and outs of how Snyder runs their operation as far as that goes. But you want to try to keep a little small spiral notebook of areas where there's a lot of concentration of Snyder customers, so that way it eliminates. Well, I'm assuming that you're trying to cut down on maybe your wait time or whatever in between loads or something like that.
I really don't have issue with wait time in between loads. My biggest thing is right now I'm getting $1.43 a mile, all miles. I need to get that number up. I'm not real thrilled with that, especially when I'm hearing, you know, I've been listening to Kevin for a while, and I hear everybody else in the spot market, you know, they're well into the twos. You know, that last guy pulling out of Arizona, $2.11 a mile, I'd be jumping up and down for joy for those kind of rates. But
are you doing a lease purchase program, or do you own your truck outright?
No, I own my truck. And basically what I'm trying to do is kind of convince myself at this point I have run my course with Snyder. I've maxed out what I can do with them. I'm not sure if I'm there yet. I haven't been with them quite a year yet. It's been about 10 months I've been with them. And I feel like maybe I've maxed out with them. So maybe really my real question for you is, how can I be looking at the rates of what everybody else is getting out there without having my own authority? Can I get onto these load boards and look at the stuff just so I can learn what the markets are prior to actually getting my authority?
It's going to be really difficult for you to get onto the load boards unless someone gives you, like, their login information and lets you get on there. What I advise, use the free resources that I put out tonight. If you're on the free Facebook page, go to the Rate Per Mile
mm-hmm.
Masters page.
I'm a member.
Look for my name on there. I posted a couple of links of the stuff that I put out tonight. Go to the link. Sign up for the emails that DAT puts out. All of this stuff, these are free resources, and it gives you, on
mm-hmm.
a week-to-week basis, it gives you a lot of information. I mean, there's tons of information in there. I mean, you can really start to dig down and start to see how the averages are on particular lanes or in particular markets. What the seasonality of it is, you know, and you can even start to create, you could go so far as to, on your computer, create a folder, and when they send out the weekly blast that they send out, you can kind of archive them so that you can start to go back through and look at it. I mean, all of these resources are for free, so it doesn't cost you any money, and from my experience, the information that DAT puts out as far as the rates and everything is concerned, it is spot on. It may be off a little bit depending upon how extreme circumstances may be, but it's usually right in the ballpark. It's not very far off at all. So if that helps, the other thing is I understand that the only way that you're going to realize your maximum potential is you're going to have to address your fears. It's kind of like, you got to just kind of step out there and do it. You want to make sure that you want to set yourself up for success and that you're doing everything properly. But in order to grow, I kind of feel where you like the security that Snyder provides. And it is scary when you're out here and you're an independent, and when stuff hits the fan, there's nobody else to call. But
right.
For me, myself, I wouldn't have it any other way. I enjoy it. I love it. It was scary for me at first. I left a really solid, secure. I was home every night, worked for a company called Sire Motor Freight, pulling doubles up and down the road. Was there for 10 years, making $80,000 a year. I mean, it was great. I wasn't sleeping in a truck. But I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to be able to do things on my terms. And I felt constricted in that environment. So when I finally decided to bite the bullet and jump out there on my own, I am thoroughly enjoying the ride. So, you know, that's my advice for you, you know, and just, you know, kind of use the tools and the resources to kind of get yourself up to speed on the rates and everything.
Well, I'll do that. Thank you so much, Rico. And I really, really hope that this call is not just a one-time thing only. I hope this will happen more often.
I hope so too. I think we might be on to something. We got a pretty good response. I'm gonna try to get a few more calls in before the hour ends.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller from the 605. It's your turn. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Well, I'm Brent, and I'm calling from South Dakota. I am in the power only segment, and. You know, I'm leased to a carrier, but I'd like to kind of find out where the best areas that I could, you know, this run that to run for the power only segment. You know, best lanes, I guess.
Now, Brent, I was always told when you don't know something, the answer to something, just be honest and say you don't know. And power only, I'm not I've never done power only. I'm a little afraid of power only because it you become constricted to wherever the freight is going, and then I don't know if I do a power only load and it puts me in an area that's not a good area, how far am I going to have to deadhead to try to get to another load? And it just takes away too much of my control. So I'm a control freak as to I want to know what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and going where I want to go. So I really can't help out. I'm unfortunately, maybe there may be someone else that. Are you a member of the Facebook page, the Rate Per Mile Masters?
Yes, I just got on there today.
There may be someone in the group that may be a better equipped to help you with help you out with that. So
well, you know, eventually I'd like to be able to go and get my, you know, really love this segment of the industry, you know. It's all, you know, like, it's 100% drop and hook. I do bobtail quite a bit, but, you know, if you get grid enough fuel economy, you know, 10 miles a gallon when you're bobtailing, it doesn't hurt you too bad on the deadhead. But it's, you know, where it seems like right now Texas seems to be kind of dead right now, and you know, I eventually want to get my own authority, so I want to be able to, I don't even know where to look. You know, if I got my own authority, where would I go look on load boards that have power only? I don't even see that on the, you know, on the load boards.
DAT does have a segment of the load board that is power only. It's under the section, it doesn't say strictly power only on there. It would say other is what it would say. And when you look on the other, it'll bring up the little acronym, with is PO, which of course is power only, and they do have a good bit of freight on there for power only on the load boards.
Okay.
So DAT does, and like I said, I can only speak for the one in particular that I know about.
You don't know if like Internet Truck Stop or anything else have.
I had Internet Truck Stop. I believe all the load boards should have a segment for power only, but I can only speak about what I have. So, you know, I try not to put out any of it. If I'm not for sure about it, I don't want to speak too much on it.
Right. Okay, well,
all right.
I guess I
apologize.
Your scope there.
I'm sorry?
I guess I called kind of out of your scope there, so.
Yeah, I when I don't know, I don't have a problem saying I don't know. I ain't got an ego as far as that's concerned.
Oh, that's good.
But I hate that I couldn't help you out, but maybe there's someone else that's in the group that may be able to point you in the right direction on that one.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, caller from the 270, it's your turn.
And Junior had that thing posted. I couldn't comment on Junior's, and I don't know.
Hello?
I wonder if it flipped over to her.
Caller, you're on.
Damn, I wish I could find what he posted on here. I don't see it.
Okay. Let's try this one. Caller from the 207, you're on.
Hello?
Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from? You're going to be the last call.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name's Travis, and I'm calling
Travis.
From St. Louis. Yes, I'm trying to find out. I've got my own authority, and I've just became a bonded carrier with Canada and Mexico. I'm trying to find out. I've got an account in Canada that brings me back to the States, but I'm having problems finding freight going back to the Northeast.
Hmm. You're trying to go back to Canada?
Because I live in Maine. I live in Maine, and I became a bonded carrier with Canada and Mexico, and I've got an actual customer in Canada that's 2 miles from the border, and they've got stuff that comes into the States, but when I come back across the state and I deliver, then I have my issues. I have to deadhead anywhere from 200 to 300 miles to get anything good.
Coming out of Maine?
No, coming out of anywhere else. Like right now, I'm going to St. Louis.
Okay,
and
what type of equipment do you haul? I mean,
flat.
What kind of trailer you got? Flat.
Flat. Base. That's your specialty, right?
No, I do reefers.
Well, I have a reefer, too, and that's doing fairly well. But this is something new that I wanted to try.
Okay, now, as far as the flatbed is concerned, let me see here. Where are you looking when you get empty? Where city are you in when you get empty?
Well, I'm going to be in Illinois. It's actually Madison, Illinois, but it's right there by, like, I call it the suburbs of St. Louis because it's right around the St. Louis area.
And that's your problem area right there, that particular area?
Yeah, it seems like every time I come towards the St. Louis area, I can't find nothing that's paying anything good. It's if I want good freight, it seems I have to go 300-400 miles sometimes.
Let's see here. Let's go to rates on that flatbed. Now, once again, you can go back to, are you a member of the Rate Per Mile group on the Facebook page?
Not yet. I'm going to look it up on Facebook tonight.
Okay, my internet is...
Because I'm on
really
Kevin's
forward.
Page.
Yeah, if you can, and we just blew straight through that hour. We're actually over time right now. If you can, go to the rate per mile page on Facebook, Rate Per Mile Masters.
Okay.
Get hooked up and get hooked up with some guys out of that area. I'm pulling up rates coming out of that area right now. It says flatbed rates move down 5 cents to 210 per mile, increasing 5 cents increase prior week. So there is a little bit of fluctuation coming out of the Midwest right there, but it's showing that the average rate coming in that, out of that area is about $2.70 a mile. What are you seeing?
Well, because I don't know anybody here, so the brokers are telling me that it's 210 or 211. But
how
it's only.
What board are you posting on? What are you using?
I post on a lot. I'm trying to get right now. I'm trying to build up the money to get a hold of the DAT board. But right now, I use like regular load boards, like Interstate Load Board.
I'm not even familiar with that one. But remember, Oahu has a version of DAT Load Board, and I think it's maybe like $35 a month.
Okay.
One of the best things, like I say, I'm kind of sound like a broken record, but try to get on board with the links that I posted on the rate per mile. These are
okay.
It's a DAT Trend Lines newsletter that they print out every week. You can actually click on the link, go to DAT, and you can subscribe to it, and it'll come right to your inbox on your email every Wednesday. And it gives you an indication of how demand is in each region of the country based upon what type of equipment that you have. And it also gives you a summary of the rates that are coming out of those areas, the supply and demand ratios in those areas. It's a really in-depth, and if you go to the actual website and get to the Trendlines website, it's an interactive page. You can actually click on each little icon to go into whatever particular segment that you're interested in and finding out about. So that would be an excellent tool for you to begin to have and start to be able to increase your knowledge as far as what rates are and what demands are in those particular areas so that you can kind of hold firm on the rates that you need to get to come out of those areas. And
right,
I'm sorry.
Well, because like I said, I try to get back to the Northeast and back to Maine because of the reason being my shipper in Canada, they like need to know when I'm gonna be back in Maine so that they can put me on their on the load so that they can get me going again.
Well, Travis, I'm gonna say this, and we're probably gonna wrap it up for tonight. You would be an excellent candidate for what I was telling the other caller as well. You know that you need to get back to your customer back on the Canadian side, and if you know exactly you're gonna be dropping off in that area all the time, what you want to start doing is marketing. Flood the market in the area where you don't have a backhaul established. Flood that market with all types of advertising, whether you do fax blasts, postcards, flyers, whatever it is that you need to do, but flood that area with anybody in that market that has something that can load on a flatbed. The way that you find those people, are you familiar with SIC codes? Are you doing a SIC code lookup?
Yes.
So if you're familiar with how to do your SIC code lookups, you can go to websites like, I'm drawing a blank right now. Manufactured News has one, but I'm trying to think of some free ones. There's a free one. Webster's Online, that you can go to Webster's Online and get a free one from them. There's another one, I'm drawing a blank right now, but I'll go back through my information, and I'll probably post a link to that as well on the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page. So definitely everybody go check out Rate Per Mile Masters on Facebook. We're going to try to get out tons and tons of information, as much information as we can, so that everyone can start to increase their bottom line, stay on top of their numbers, and increase their profitability. With that said, Travis, maybe we'll try to pick this up again next week. I'm not sure. We kind of been flying and solo and winging this thing as we go. But I hope everybody got something out of this tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and look forward to helping you guys and speaking with you more in the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page. And with that said, we'll talk to everybody next week.